The following message is from the audio teaching library of the Briarwood Pulpit, a ministry of the Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. Our speaker is Dr. Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. It is our hope and prayer that this message will equip and encourage you in your walk with Christ, and as a result, you will be used by our Lord as an instrument of change to further His kingdom and bring honor and glory to the name of Christ. Here now is our pastor-teacher, Harry Reeder.
If you're able, please remain standing for the reading of God's Word, God's inerrant, infallible Word from 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to finish up in our 14th study. We're going to finish this first chapter today, verses 22 through 25, but we're going to read some selected verses from the chapter. So if you'll go ahead and turn there. If you're visiting with us and you don't have a Bible, please feel free to use the pew Bible, and even feel free to take it with you. If you don't yet have a Bible, just take it with you. And see Cindy and me at the back. We've got a little study guide that we'd be glad to give you to go along with a Bible. But if you'll turn to page 1014, you're with us. Note sheets are provided. So we're finishing up 1 Peter 1, so I'm going to ask you, for the sake of clarity and a few things I want to connect together, go back with me to 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. Peter, as the Apostle Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, who is he writing to? To those who are elect exiles. They're on a pilgrimage, they're on a journey. To the elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of the Lord abides forever. By His grace and His mercy, may His word be preached for you. Please be seated. As you can probably tell by looking around at some folks that might not be here today, and it's kind of that way throughout the summer months. People go on family vacations. I thought that might be a good way for me to come and conclude this chapter in terms of what Peter is doing for us in 1 Peter as elect exiles on a journey. I thought maybe I might use a family vacation like the one I had growing up. I had a dad and a mom and three sisters, and our very first family vacation was when we were 16 years old. Harry, you mean y'all never took a family vacation till you were 16? Well, yes and no. No, we never took a family vacation in the sense that you're thinking family vacation, but we did come up with an ingenious way to do it that many of you know the same ingenious way. That when you don't have enough money to take a family vacation, it's called visit the relatives. And so we would visit grandparents and uncles and aunts, and we would take our family vacation was visiting relatives. Now, of course, they have the same predicament you have, so that means when you visit them, guess what? They're going to come visit you, and that's when. But I kind of liked that when I was a kid growing up. You'd go visit relatives, and you'd stay, and particularly my grandparents in Augusta, Georgia, and then others. And then they'd come there. People would come visit you, and when you were a kid, I like what Opie. Anybody ever read that great? I mean, listen to that wonderful program, the Andy Griffith Show. I love that. I can just about give you the whole dialogue if you're ready for it. And so I like Opie's, when relatives would come, he'd say, "Oh boy, Daddy, that means we get to do adventure sleeping." Y'all not know what adventure sleeping is? Oh, when you're a kid, that means the ironing board is going to be placed on two chairs and you get to sleep on it. Pallets are going to be put out. And that's the way it was growing up and on those family vacations. But when we were 16, we finally got a real life family vacation. And then I began to look and saw exactly how it happened. My dad was in charge of having fun. My dad would make sure there was golf dates. My dad would make sure the Uno cards were with us. My dad would make sure the Monopoly board game was with us. My dad wanted to have fun. In fact, my dad was in perpetual adolescence about as long as I can remember. He was director of Fun Time. Now, my mom, nope, we're going to get the job. We're going to have a vacation, and you're going to enjoy it. You're going to be there on time with everything in place. So about a week before, she would make a list. And part of her list was to make a list for me and my three. We all got our own list, and you had to get this and get this. And then she had a list for Daddy. And where are we going? I don't know. Well, you better find out, because I want to know where we're going. So by the time we left, Mother had a list and a direction. I mean, the directions were there. Bullet points, underlined. Everything was right there. Here's when we're leaving. Here's who gets in the car. Here's where all of you are going to sit for the first 100 miles. The second 100 miles, you're going to shift places, and you're going to sit like this. And then every hour after that, so it was all like what is it called? OCD? If you'll look it up. By the way, I said, what is OCD? They said obsessive compulsive disorder. Disorder, that was a way of life for me growing up. It was the order of life. I mean, everything would be laid out. I mean, like I told you, my mama, she'd put newspaper underneath the cuckoo clock just in case. I'm telling you. So everything was laid out. If you look up OCD on the dictionary, you'll see her picture right there. So it would be, and so by the time we left, we had a complete travelogue. Here's where we're going, here's the destination, here's the timing, here's what everybody has. Well, in a sense, that's what Peter is giving us. He is telling us, who is he telling? Elect exiles. Elect is who you are in Christ. Exiles is how you're living for Christ in this world. And you're on the dispersion. Remember, God's covenant people were delivered out of Egypt and then went through a wilderness on a journey to the promised land. You have been delivered from the power and penalty of sin, and you're on a journey to eternity and the celestial city. And Peter is telling you, first of all, who you are in Christ. He very carefully, first 12 verses of this chapter, of this epistle, he very carefully tells you who you are in Christ before he tells you what to do for Christ. Because we either with a lack of clarity, or with ignorance, or with arrogance we can easily think it's what we're doing that makes us who we are in Christ. No, it's what Jesus did. That's who makes you who you are in Christ. Now, once you know who you are in Christ, now how do you make this journey as the elect exile for Christ? And he is going to give us a series of commandments, framing, governing commandments as to how to live. Now listen, how to live for your Savior, not how to live for salvation. If you could live for salvation, Jesus wouldn't have come and died on the cross for our sins. He would have just said, start living. We can't do it. We can't save ourselves. So Jesus is our Savior. But now that we're saved and in Christ, how then do you live? Not for salvation, but for Christ. And so the rest of this epistle is going to be laying out what I'm calling axioms. That is directives, framing commandments. We've already covered two. And we're about to get number three next week. But before we get to next week, there are two precepts that you need and I need for encouragement as we embrace all of these commands, particularly these first two commands, these first two axioms. So Peter's first of all telling you where you're going. Now this is important. Where am I going? If you've got your Bibles in front of you, I want you to go back to where I finished reading, and I want you to take a look at 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want you to slip down to verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. So if you're on the journey as the elect exile, you've been born again. But you've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, where are you headed on this journey that Christ has set you on by giving you new life because you've been born again? Where are you headed? You are headed to an inheritance that is, underlined, imperishable. It can't be diminished. It can't be tarnished. It can't fade away. It is imperishable. You have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And who are you? Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed for the last time. So I want you to get this. You are on a journey to an imperishable destination, an imperishable inheritance, and you are imperishable. You can't be lost. You are being kept. You are being kept for the inheritance that is kept. The inheritance is imperishable, and you are imperishable. Now, that's the journey you're on to this imperishable inheritance as the imperishable elect of God. Jesus put it this way, Father, all whom you've given me, I lose not one. Jesus put it this way through the Apostle Paul, Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So I lose not one. Your people are imperishable, and I'm taking them to an imperishable inheritance. I'm keeping the inheritance, and I'm keeping them. Now, on the way, I'm giving them two commands. Let me review what these commands are. I'm only going to spend a moment for it. Here's command number one. Command number one is a divine summons to the personal pursuit of pervasive holiness. Take your Bibles and go with me to chapter 1 and slip down to verse 13. Therefore, after telling you who you are in Christ in those first 12 verses, this is what he then sets you on the journey. Directive number one, command number one, axiom number one. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So here he is telling us that we have a commandment to be holy, for the Lord is holy. Now let's be clear. Be clear. This is not you seeking to be holy to be saved. That holiness has already been given to you. You see, Jesus has taken away your sin when he died and paid the penalty for it. Then when Jesus removed your sin and my sin, he gave us his righteousness. So I have a positional holiness that is pure. But what this is calling me to is the pursuit of a personal pervasive. Why do I use the word pervasive? Because notice what it says. Be ye holy in all of your conduct. That means this. All of my hobbies don't become gods. I only use them to the glory of God. All of my appetites are not to become gods. I am to use them to the glory of God. Eating, drinking, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That nothing gets in front of God, above God. That this word holy means to be unique, is to be uniquely owned by God. And all that I have, all that I'm doing, I am on a journey seeking to present all that I am, all that I have, all that I'm doing to Him as an offering of praise to Him. That's what God is calling me to do. The pursuit of a personal, pervasive holiness in all of life. To do that, I need to deal with my mind. I need to deal with my mind. Notice what he said. Preparing your mind. Notice what he said, sober-minded. Notice what he said, fix your mind. A prepared mind. Here's the way Paul said it. He says to us, present yourselves as a living sacrifice and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may manifest that which is good and perfect and acceptable, the very will of God. So here is God's call to me to have a mind that's prepared. Folks, don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. Select your teachers well. Select what you hear well. When all's said and done, pupils become like their teachers. Have a prepared mind and a sober mind. What's the opposite of sober? Intoxication. Don't get intoxicated with this world, with what it offers, with your former passions. Don't let those intoxicates you. Whatever intoxicates you begins to control you. So have a sober mind, a mind that's in hand, a mind that's in control, the control of the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That we don't let the things of this world, any appetite, anything, we don't let it addict us. What we're doing is being sober-minded. So not only is our mind prepared, not only, but then he says, and fix your mind on the hope that is to be revealed in Jesus Christ at his coming. Fix your mind on the hope that is to be revealed and the grace of God that is right. Did you hear what it says? That is right now coming to you. Let me ask you a question. Is the blessing of God's grace to be forgiven of all of your sin, does that thrill your soul? Oh, good. Six of you. Boy, I've got a whole fishing pool here this morning. I'll give you one more chance. The grace of God that forgave you of all of your sins in Jesus Christ, does that thrill your soul? The grace of God that's been poured out that set you free from the dominion of sin so that you can now walk in the liberty of Christ, does that thrill your soul? And we'll say this carefully. That's nothing compared to what's coming. You won't believe what's coming at the grace that is being brought to you in Christ. And the one whom you love, whom you haven't seen, you see. The one who has loved you, whom you have not spoken directly to face, you'll see him. The sins you're killing, you'll have to kill no longer, because not only will you not sin, you will not be able to sin. The new body, the new heavens, the new earth, forever. Fix your mind. People say, well, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. Hogwash. You'll never be earthly good till you get heavenly minded. Fix your hope on the grace that is to be revealed. Then the second axiom he gives is that as we have this relationship with the Lord and we're pursuing pervasive holiness, the next thing we find out, guess what? I'm not in this journey by myself. I've got some traveling companions. Now, on my family vacation, that was a challenge because I had three sisters I had to share the car with, a dad and a mom. And that was always interesting to be in that. But you not only have to share it, you got brothers. Listen, God is your father and you got brothers and sisters in the Lord and we're on this journey together. So what else do you do? Well, look what else he says. Slip down, if you would, to verse 22. Here's your next command. Having purified your souls by your obedience. So here you are pursuing holiness, not with a prepared mind that's purifying your soul. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Now, here's the second commandment. Is we're supposed to love. Interestingly, he says you've got a brotherly love. In the Greek, that's the word phileo, brotherly love. Then he says, since you have purified your souls for a brotherly love, a phileo, brother-sister love, then he says, love, and that's a different word. It's the word agape, agapeo. It means a sacrificial love. You've got a brotherly love. You're in this thing. Hey, look, we're together, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, what I want you to do is sacrificially love each other on the way. And I want that love to have three marks. Sincere, earnest, and heartfelt. Sincere, earnest, and heartfelt. Sincere. We don't do, I don't care what the bumper sticker says, we don't do random acts of love. We're to do intentional acts of love. We are to do sincere, earnest, from the heart, acts of love into one another's life to help each other on the journey as brothers and sisters in the Lord. So I've got, now, to do that, there are two precepts that he gives us, and I want you to get these. I want you to get these two precepts, and I've got one takeaway. But I want you to get the two precepts. But before I give you the two precepts, I've got three questions. Three questions to ask you. My first question that I want to ask you is this. Before we get to the two precepts, my first question I want to ask you is this. Do you, here's what I want to ask you. When you are headed to this destination, how do you know your destination? Or do you know what your destination is? It's an imperishable inheritance. How do you know it's an imperishable inheritance? How do you know what you're headed to, a new heavens, a new earth, with Christ forever? How do you know that? How do you know that you are one of those that know the Lord, numbered with the elect of God on this journey to the celestial city? How do you know that? Well, you know that because the Bible tells you so. That's why. I wouldn't have known where I'm headed or how to get there or the directions as to how I live on the way there. And I wouldn't know who my Savior is and what He's done for me without the Word of God. I wouldn't know it without the Word of God. Let me ask you a second question. In the pursuit of pervasive personal holiness, how many of you fall short of that? Anybody? I do. Every day. Just give me three stoplights on Highway 280. I fall short of it every day. I'm not where I ought to be. I praise God I'm not where I was, but I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not even where I want to be. I'm falling short of this pervasive, this first command. To pursue a personal pervasive acts of holiness that is to give my life and everything I have, my children, my wife, my marriage, my hobbies, my appetites, everything to the Lord. To do that, I praise God for the progress that's been made, but then I see how much I'm falling short of this. And I get discouraged with it. Folks, here's what I'm trying to say. Somebody said to me the other day, they came right up here after the Sunday evening service and they said, Pastor, are we saints or sinners? So, okay, what would you answer? Yes. Yes. Positionally, you're a saint. Nobody has to canonize you. Nobody has to vote on it. You are a saint because of the blood and righteousness of Jesus and the Spirit of God that's within you. You are a saint. Set apart to belong to Christ. So you are positionally a saint, but your condition is you're a sinner. You got an old man within you. And the Bible says if any of us say we haven't sinned, then we're liars. And the truth is not in us. So I'm a sinner. Conditionally, I've got sin in my life. So here I'm called to holiness, and I see the sins in my life, and I'm confessing them, and I'm dealing with them, but they're still there. And then the second axiom, love my brothers and sisters. Now, how many of you are loving your brothers and sisters and you're satisfied with the way you're doing it? Please do not raise your hand. You know you're not. I mean, you know there's some brothers and sisters you're saying, Lord, are you kidding me? Love them. I would like to strangle them. Please forgive me. Love them. I know patient, love doesn't take into account wrong that's, I know all of that, but I mean, I'm reminded of what the guy wrote. I don't know who to give credit to for this. He wrote this, to dwell above with the saints we love, oh, won't that be glory? To dwell below with the saints I know, that's a different story. Now, there's a challenge for you. So let me ask you something. Question number one, how do you know where you're headed? Because the Bible tells you so. As you pursue holiness, we're falling short. As I'm called to love my brothers and sisters, I'm falling short. Is God kind of like Pharaoh? Do you remember Pharaoh told the people of Israel? He said, make the bricks. And you got to make as many bricks as you did, but I'm not giving you any straw. Is God telling us to do something, but He doesn't give us the straw? Can I really pursue holiness and increasingly, pervasively, have more and more of my life given to Christ? Can I do that? Can I really grow in my ability to love God's people? Can I really do that? Well, that's why these two precepts are important. So let me give them to you and then we'll close. Precept number one is, you can do that and you can stay on the journey because your justification is imperishable. You are right with God and it is imperishable. And it is imperishable because of the imperishable blood of Christ. Would you go back with me to chapter 1 and slip down, if you would, to verse 6. Notice, I'm sorry, not chapter 1, verse 6. Chapter 1 and verse, slip down with me to verse 17. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear through the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways. You have been bought with a price. You've been ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers. How were you ransomed? Not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with something that's imperishable, the blood of Christ. Yes, sir, I fall short in my pursuit of holiness. Yes, sir, and I'm convicted of it, and I want to keep growing. Yes, sir, I fall short in my love, but let me tell you something. My hope is in Jesus Christ and the imperishable blood of Christ. And therefore, even though I fall short, my hope is in Christ. It is a sure hope. It is the anchor of my soul. It is well with my soul because the blood of Christ cannot be broken. He has paid for all the sins of all of His people. The blood shall never lose its power. I may manifest my impotence, but the blood of Christ shall never lose its power. You know, one of the songs I loved, and John, I don't know that we can do it, and do it this way. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, we used to sing, "There is power in the blood." Do you remember that? And then the song leader, he'd say, "Okay, we're not going to just have power, power. We're going to have power, 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 power. There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. There's wonder-working power in the blood." No, next time, "There's power, 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 power." And then the next time, "There's power, 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 power." I was just wondering how fast we could go. But you know, as whatever you think of that, I remember as a kid walking away, "There's power in the blood." The blood of Christ is imperishable. Therefore, my standing with God is sure in Christ. It is not sure because of my performance. It is sure because of the blood. What shall wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the second thing is this. Not only am I secure because of the blood of Jesus, which is imperishable, therefore I've got an imperishable inheritance. But the second thing is this. Slip down to verse, let's finish with this. Having purified your souls by your obedience, verse 22, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Look at verse 23. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but there's that word again, imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So now he tells us, here's your second precept. Not only is your justification imperishable because of the imperishable blood of Jesus, but your regeneration, you've been born again, and that is imperishable because you were born again by the Word of God, the imperishable Word of God. Brothers and sisters, all friends, everybody that's here, if you are on the journey, it's because you got set on the journey, and you got set on the journey because you were brought from death into life. You've been born again. Isn't it interesting? He says, and this was the word that was preached to you. Why is he able to say that? He has to say that because there's no way that you get on the journey to heaven in the perfect righteousness of Jesus and resting in the forgiveness of the blood of Jesus unless you've been born again. You've got to be born again. You must be born again. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? You must be born of the Spirit. Now you just found out something else. You're born of the Spirit and born of the imperishable seed, the Word of God. Your first birth, there was a seed and an egg. Both are perishable. Your new birth, there's a seed. And the receptor is the Spirit of God. The imperishable seed, the Word of God. And the Spirit of God brought you from death unto life. And even though you falter, you not only know that the blood always cries out for your forgiveness, you also know that the Spirit of God has broken the power of sin. Yes, you've still got sin living in you, but you no longer live in the power of sin. It no longer has dominion over you. Why? You've been born again by the powerful, imperishable seed of the Word of God that has brought you from death into life. If you haven't been born again, you need to know this. You have been born one time. In all flesh. He's quoting from Isaiah. By the way, you hear me quote this every Sunday, don't you? I read the text and then I always say, the grass withers, the flower fades, the word of the Lord abides forever. Do you know why I do that? I actually don't do it so much for you as for me. I'm reminding myself, Harry, I can't believe that God called you to this, but you are opening up the one thing in this room that's imperishable. The word of God. Everything else is perishable. Except for those who have been born again by the imperishable seed, the Word of God. Everyone, all flesh withers. The glory, all of our achievements, athletically, physically, culturally, they fade away. Like sandcastles on the sea. It doesn't mean they're not important. But they all perish. I mean, have you ever seen some of these athletes? My goodness. I remember just watching this, I grew up in Carolina watching Michael Jordan just seeming like sailing through the air. Leaving the foul line and would he ever come down and he'd dunk it. And I'd watch him and it would bring back memories of my career as a basketball player. I used to do the same thing at 2 o'clock in the morning while I was dreaming. It was just astounding. Well, I don't know how long Michael Jordan will live and any of those that can do that. I do know this. If they live long enough, there's coming a day they won't even be able to put a spoon in a cup of coffee. All flesh withers. We'll run out of replacement surgeries, cosmetic surgeries. All flesh withers. Its glory fades away. This real sweet lady in our church, she had been absent for about a month because of some sickness, and so I met her at the back. And this was really pastoral honesty. I said, oh, it's so good to see you. I'm so glad you're looking so good. You look great. And she looked at me and she said, well, sometimes a little paint will make you what you ain't. I said, that's going in a book. So I'm going to write a book one day and put that in there. Well, there's coming a day the paint won't do it either. All flesh. I know you think you got a silver. I know you think you're that you're imperishable, but you're not. All flesh withers. All of our achievements, all of them, they fade. The grass withers, the flower of the grass fades away. But the word of the Lord abides forever. And the word of the Lord preached to you with that essential message, good news. Helpless and hopeless sinners can be saved through Jesus Christ. That came to you. And the Spirit of God took that word and opened your heart. And you believed. And that word is infallible. God's not going to send a note, "Oh, I need to make an edit in that part of the text." It is inerrant, infallible, reliable, unbreakable. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Doesn't contain truth. It is the truth. Doesn't become the truth. It is the truth. And the biggest decision you ever make in your life is, what do you do with it when it says this? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through me. All eternity awaits. And if God works in your heart and you believe, it is unbreakable. It won't fade away. It is imperishable. The living and abiding Word of God. And that word that was preached to you, when the good news came, you believe. So where does that leave us? Let me give you the takeaway, and then we'll be dismissed. Elect exiles are imperishable, headed for an imperishable inheritance, and are imperishable on their way to the inheritance, not because of them, not because of how well they pursue holiness, not because of how well they love the brethren. Elect exiles are imperishable because, number one, because they have been cleansed by the imperishable blood of the Son of God. The blood of Christ will never fail. It's not the blood of bulls and goats. It is the blood of the Lamb of God. And it takes away all of the sins of all of His people. Secondly, God's people have an imperishable inheritance and are imperishable not only because they've been cleansed by the imperishable blood of the Son of God, but because they've been born again by the Spirit of God with the imperishable Word of God through the preaching of the Gospel of God. That's why we have a hope. You see, I don't know. I wish I could just tell you the angst I feel in my soul to get through to you. All that stuff right now that's taking your attention from this message is perishing. And it is of no consequence unless it is wrapped up in the love of God in Christ in your life. Then it becomes an offering of praise to God. All of the flowers, all of the achievements, all of them are then offered up to Him. But if you leave here and you think, I won't perish, it is appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. All of my stuff will last forever. No, it won't. No, it won't. What lasts forever is the glory of God by the grace of God anchored in your soul. And it is well with my soul. So I would ask you to do this. I've got a pastoral request. Would you hear this? Would you please pray for me? Nobody gets on this journey without being born again. And nobody gets born again without the Word of God. And the Word of God is to be preached. Would you pray that while, as a pastor, there's so many things I love, and so many things I'm grateful to be a part of, but I ask you to pray for me that all of my inadequacies, because this grass is withering, this flower is fading, but would you pray that in all of that, I will stay the course and preach the Word with the glorious ship of the Word of God and all of the holds in that ship that are filled with the treasures of God. But the bow of that ship, the point of that ship, will be the gospel of saving grace in Christ. And I'll stay the course. And for all who are called, pray for them that they stay the course. And I not only have that pastoral request for my fellow pilgrims, but I've got an exhortation. Let me ask you this. What do you value? Do you value what's perishable or imperishable? I mean, right now, what is it that sets the schedule of your life? And where's the Word of God in it? Where's the blood of the Lamb? Where is the imperishable? Or is our lives ordered by the perishable? I'll tell you a good place to start. Just go ask your children. Ask your son and your daughter. What do you think is the most important thing in my life? I love to see these VBS things, by the way. Don't you love it when children start walking? No greater joy than to see our children walking in the truth. Well, listen, they can't walk in it until they get born again by it. And we got to bring it into their life and bring them to it. You know, right before I came here, a guy stopped me in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Sunday I was resigning to come here in 1999. He was a guy that we grew up together playing baseball, basketball, and football since we were 7 years old, all the way up through college. My goodness, baseball diamonds, football fields, and basketball courts. We were together all the time. But he left and moved away, and there was Sunday that I'm leaving to come here. That Sunday I'm resigning. The day before, he comes to my office, and Kenny says to me, he says, "Hey, Harry, I'm moving back to Charlotte. You got room for another center?" I said, "Well, that's all we got here. Sinners that can be saved by grace. Come on in, Kenny." And he said, "I can't wait to come home. And I want to come to Jesus." And he said, "You know what's hanging up in my office? When we were 8 years old and you took me to VBS, you remember we made that little sign, Forward with Christ. I've kept it ever since I was 8. Thank you for taking me there. I'm ready to go forward with Christ." Man, don't discount moments like this. Do our children see us valuing the Word of God? Or does the Word of God kind of slip in? But really, there's other things that are perishable that really call for our attention, our calendars, and our resources. And by the way, if we got a little bit of time, man, why don't we try church this Sunday? Why don't we try the Word of God? Well, maybe we'll read it every once in a while. Listen, build the Word of God. It's unbreakable. It's inerrant. It's infallible. And you can't know the God of the Word without the Word of God. Now, you can know the Word of God and not know the God of the Word, but you can't know the God of the Word without the Word of God. And the third thing is this. Is that when you leave, here's my pastoral exhortation and reminder. You're on your way to the celestial city, pilgrim. Let's go. Guess what? There's room for more. Go out and invite them. Just bring them in. I'll talk to them on Sunday. You talk to them when you go home. Just great. Just talk to them about Jesus. You've got the greatest, the most important message in the world. And the great thing is we're going as the family of God, but there's always room for more. So go tell them. When I became a Christian, I made a list of all the people that I had affected. I was a very immoral and ungodly, dissipated lifestyle, to say the least. And so all the people that I had so impacted, I've made a list. And I asked Cindy to pray with me that I would somehow be able to tell them what's happened in my life and what Jesus can do in their life. And she began to pray. And the next day, one of the guys on the list, I was riding in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was riding down this street, and I was going this way, and he was going that way, and we saw each other. His name was Larry. My name's Harry. That's convenient. I said, "Hey, Larry." He said, "Hey, Harry." And I He said, "What's going on? I hadn't seen you." And I said, "Well, a lot of things have changed." And I was sitting there praying, "God, will you find a way to open the door so I can, I know we're just looking out the window with each other, our cars next to each other, but would you just somehow figure out a way, work out a way?" Well, here's what happened. He looked on my dashboard and he saw a Bible. Now, if you ever live in Charlotte, North Carolina, I carry the Bible because the lights are so long, you can get a chapter read at each stoplight. So I started carrying a Bible with me. He saw the Bible. He said, "What is that?" And I said, "It's a Bible." He said, "What are you doing with a Bible?" I said, "I'm glad you asked." And I just started letting it go. "I'm a Christian. This is what God is doing." And it looked like my car was rolling away. And then I realized it wasn't my car that was rolling. It was his car that was rolling away. And he leaned out the door and he said, "That's wonderful. I'm glad you got some religion. I'll see you later." Well, the next week, I'm standing at the Lineberger's Fish Camp with Cindy in Gastonia, North Carolina. I'll tell you what a fish camp is one day. Don't have time now, but I'll tell you one day. But we're standing there. Now, you got to remember, I had a very ungodly, immoral life. I'm now a Christian, and I've been married a couple of months. And so this lady comes up behind me, throws her arms around me, and says, "Oh, Harry, I love you." I said, "Oh, no. This is a blast from the past." And I turned around. It was Larry's mother. And I forgot to tell you this. When Larry pulled off, I turned to Cindy and I said, "How do you think I did?" She said, "I don't think you did too well." So now Larry, she comes up and she said, "Harry, Larry's become a Christian this week." And I said, "He did?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Miss Davis, I'm a Christian." And she said, "Yeah, he told me that you told him that you were a Christian." I said, "Yeah." And I told him I was a Christian. And now he's a Christian. And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Was it something I said?" And she looked at me and she said, as I looked at Cindy, and she looked at me and she said, "Oh, no." He said, "You didn't make a whole lot of sense." He said, "But anything that could change somebody like you that much, he wanted to go find out about it." So he went to church the next Sunday and he became a Christian. There's room. There's room for you. I'd love to pray with you. Come see one of us after the service. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for the time we can be together. Would you allow us to rejoice that we are being kept imperishable for an imperishable inheritance through the imperishable blood of Christ, making us right with you, and the imperishable word of God that brings you right within us as we're born again. And thank you, Father, that we can value that which is imperishable, the blood and the word, in our life and the way we schedule and arrange our life. And thank you, Father, that we can bring others with us by bringing you to them with a lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for the time we can be together. Would you allow us to rejoice that we are being kept imperishable for an imperishable inheritance through the imperishable blood of Christ, making us right with you, and the imperishable word of God that brings you right within us as we're born again. And thank you, Father, that we can value that which is imperishable, the blood and the word, in our life and the way we schedule and arrange our life. And thank you, Father, that we can bring others with us by bringing you to them with a lifestyle of evangelism and discipleship. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a message by Harry Reeder, senior pastor of Briarwood Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, Alabama. For more information on the resources available through Briarwood Presbyterian Church, or for more information on the teaching ministry of Pastor Reeder, visit us at briarwood.org. Or call 205-776-5200.